from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Now, what I'm going to say right now might get me into some trouble.
Hold on. Here's my hottest take of all time. No one's going to complain about the sun at night.
I feel like at this point, if I have the quarter, it's a net loss for me. Like, it's going to be in a spot that it's just going to sit there forever.
Why are you the way that you are?
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Guess what? The spider is back. Spider's back on the car. Went through the car wash yesterday. Web destroyed. Figured he was gone this morning. No. Walk out to my car. Bam, there it is.
Well, there's your problem. You figured he was gone.
I mean, you'd think after the third time he'd go, you know, I'm sick of rebuilding this freaking web every other day. I mean, let me go find a tree to build it in instead. Let me go find a light on the side of a house to go do it on instead. Nope. This is the most stubborn spider you've ever seen in your life. It will not leave my driver's side mirror. So what do I do? Do I just kill it? I don't know where it is. It's like under the mirror. Driving down the throughway doesn't get rid of it, so the spider's back. I'm gonna have to name it.
You have is the web. You haven't seen the spider.
I've seen the spider when I was driving, actually, maybe like a week ago. So I've seen it one time. I know it exists. I saw it crawl under the mirror. So it's living under that mirror back there that you can kind of move back and forth. I tried that, by the way. It didn't come out. So I've got a spider problem on my car. But there should be an easy way to fix this, I'm sure. The next time you see it, just grab a napkin.
And yeah,
it feels like it. But what am I supposed to do when I'm driving? Grab a napkin and then roll down the window and
probably
then try
not
to grab it. That seems unsafe.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, last day until training camp. St. John Fisher tomorrow. One last preview before we see the Bills on the field. Although we will be talking to you tomorrow on the air before the Bills have also taken the field, but we'll at least be on the scene. And yeah, we'll have some stuff live from St. John Fisher tomorrow, 6 a.m., of course, here on WGR, so that'll be fun. We got Aaron Schatz coming up a little bit later on in the show. That'll be fun, 9 o'clock, Aaron Schatz on his almanac that came out and where he sees the Bills. I have not seen where Aaron Schatz has the Bills. I might want to guess he has them higher than we think. By DVOA, Allen being so important to where teams lie in that, quarterback being so important. I want to guess the Bills are a little bit better off on that than we think. Last night, where I want to start, though. So I'm kind of surprised this didn't come out a little bit earlier in July, because the NFL is the machine that knows exactly when to put all its content out. Right, the combine is right when nothing else is going on, so that people pay attention to it. And the draft is smack dab in the middle of April, right? Free agency before that in March. Like, they spread it out pretty well. And here come training camps. Last night, the beginning of the famed NFL Top 100 list. Once a year, we all overreact to something that's pretty meaningless, right? Would you say the NFL Top 100 is pretty meaningless?
Yes, yes.
Even though it's voted on by the players. Also weird, they only vote in the top 25. Do you know that?
Yeah.
The players vote in the top 25, but then the list is 100?
I'm sure it would be really difficult to...
have them remember 100 players?
Yeah, and find consensus.
Okay.
Like, we do a top 10 players for the future of the Bills every year. It's an exercise that Joe Marino does.
Okay.
And you have, like, I think you get 10 guys. Well, I think it's more like 15 do the thing, and then there's some different stuff that you write about it. But, like, you know, I'll make a list of 10 players, and then everyone makes a list of 10 players, and then, you know, they take the average.
And then there's an average.
There's an average.
Yeah.
So, like, that's easy to do with 10 players and 10 people, but if you're going to, you know, you're just going to get such wild, like, seeing some of the lists from the players, like, there was four of them leaked, and they were... Like, one had Josh Allen 8th, another one didn't have Josh Allen at all, had Jared Goff 5th.
Just wild all over the place.
I get it. It's like good, like, lead up to the season content. But it's not, I mean, Mac Jones was in it 2 years ago.
Okay. So that, right. He just squeaked in a couple years ago. There, I mean, Carson, I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Carson Wentz was number 2. Or number 3?
Yep.
They're trying, right, I don't know how successful they are in doing it, but they're trying to capture what the players think. Who do the players think are the best players in the league? So, last night is the first installation. Did you see it, by the way?
I saw number 96.
Okay, so you know who the Bill is that's on the list. How many, before we tell everybody who was on it, if you missed it, how many Bills would you have guessed beforehand were going to make the list?
When I saw it, I then immediately, my first thought was, how many more other than Josh Allen will be on this list?
Mm-hmm. 96 was Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins, I think first time in his career that he made the NFL Top 100 list. Deion Dawkins after, I mean, wasn't last year undoubtedly his best season as a pro?
Yes.
It felt like he was a monster last season. Dawkins was in the write-up at NFL.com about him being 96th overall best player in the league. Dawkins, fourth highest pass block win rate last season, allowed only a 6% pressure rate, which was the third lowest among left tackles via Next Gen Stat. He was unbelievable, I thought, last season as a left tackle. Earned every dollar of his extension. So Dawkins at 96. Yeah, how many more?
I think Ed Oliver will sneak in somewhere in the 80s.
Okay. I might want to predict he doesn't, but I could see it. It feels like he would, if he's not in the 80s, I bet he won't be on the list. Because I don't think they're going to put him much higher than that.
I agree with that.
Milano?
Milano.
So Milano is coming off an injury, and this list will often really knock you down with injuries, but all the other lists that people are putting out there, the ESPN one we've talked about in recent weeks, where the scouts and the
executives, I think he's on the list.
Okay, so Milano would be on the list, and Allen, and is that it?
I don't think Kincaid's on there yet.
No, not after 1 year.
I don't think Kincaid's on there yet.
Not after 1 year, no. That didn't even crack 700 yards. Like, I don't think so.
I don't think the league knows about Terrell Bernard yet.
Uh-huh.
He'll be on this list next year.
I bet
Rasul
you...
Douglas?
I feel like he should be on the list, and I bet you he won't be. Last year, there were 5 Bills on the list. Allen was number 8. Diggs was number 16. Jordan Poyer was number 57. Poyer was coming off an incredible season. Remember, he was playing banged up and great, and Hyde was out for the year. So Poyer was 57. Milano was number 69. So I think Milano might be, with the injury, have to be in like the 80s for him to see it. But I might want to predict he isn't on the list either. One other bill that I want to float your way that I think could be on this list. Last year, there were 9 running backs on the NFL Top 100 list. Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, and Jamal Williams.
So it's possible
Jamal
James Cook's
Williams,
there.
By the way, was on the NFL Top 100 list. He had 15 touchdowns. They're all from 1 yard out. Okay, sure. So all of those running backs made the list. I mean, if we're going to see something similar, isn't James Cook going to be one of the 9 or 10 running backs that makes the list?
Maybe. Yeah.
He was 4th in yards last year. He doesn't really score touchdowns. He had some drops that were pretty memorable for us. I don't know how memorable it is for the league.
I think the better exercise here, Joe, is to predict which players this year that aren't on it for the Bills will be on it next year. Because I think right now, isn't this part of the conversation about the Bills nationally, which is that they're a team that is largely in transition and doesn't have the same, maybe not superstar power, but star power that it's had in the years past, in at least the last couple of seasons, in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White.
Yep.
I mean, these are all players that had been on the NFL Top 100. And I think this year there's a lot of questions about some of these positions, the guys taking their place. Like, I think, you know, James Cook has another season. If he's not on it this year, he'll be on it next year. Khalil Shakir? Could he have a big enough season?
I think how big a year would he
have?
Dalton
Kincaid's going to be on it next year.
How big a year?
You know,
Dalton Kincaid will be on it.
Yes.
So the only thing about that is he's going to have, I mean,
tight end one season. He's going to have a Travis Kelce level season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there were 3 tight ends that made the list last year. There wasn't one in the first 10 names that were dropped yesterday. But that's what we're hoping for, isn't it? We're hoping for that tight end 1, 2, 3 season.
Do you see, because obviously the guy that he got compared to the most, by the way, was Travis Kelce coming out.
How fair was that?
Not fair at all. It's like Ed Oliver getting the Aaron Donald.
Even for his style, though. Is that what he is?
I think a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Kelce is a force physically along with his route running. Like, maybe this is part, though, because Kelce is, you know, 34 and Kincaid is, well, Kincaid's a little 24? Older for a rookie. He's 24. Yeah. But still, what was Kelce early on? Was he like that early where you just couldn't get around him? Because Kincaid isn't like beefy, you know what I mean? Like, he's a tight end, he's big, he's tall, but he's not Mark Andrews, Gronk especially. He's not out there being this physical force that you're afraid of when he's barreling down at you, you know, 20 yards away. So I don't know. Like, Kelce, even as the style of tight end, I feel like he's been more of a Zach Ertz type with a little bit more, maybe even a lot more
juice.
A juice down
Dallas
the field,
Goddard.
Up the seam.
Basically just Dallas Goddard.
Kind of. Maybe that's not bad for it. The Kelce comparison, though, is just always going to be unfair.
It's going to be hard. Because I think most of us would agree Kelsey's the best tight end ever.
Yeah. But anyways, to your question, like, I think Terrell Bernard has a chance of being on the list next year if he has another year like he just did.
You know who else I think should be on this, might be on this list?
Who?
Osiris Torrance. He runs back a season like he had last year.
Yeah.
Where he is one of the... It's tough because guards probably don't get a lot of love.
I know. Offensive linemen in general. Look how long it takes you to establish name power.
Yeah.
Deion Dawkins just got on the list.
Yeah, right.
But and he's been in the league for 7 years, 8 years.
He did have his best season.
He did have his best season, but still, he's been in the league. He needed some name power, it felt like, along the way to build into it. Like, he had made the Pro Bowl before.
What kind of season does Keon Coleman have to be on here?
He needs to have 1,000 yards as a rookie.
Okay. I probably agree
or
with that.
Or maybe just a little less than 1,000 yards, but like 14 touchdowns.
Ooh, okay. Like a big touchdown
season. Huge touchdown season. I mean, I just pointed out, I know it's running back, but Jamal Williams made this list, and it was only just because he scored a bunch of touchdowns from the 1 yard line.
How many practices did you watch last year? Like, did you actually get to sit there and watch? I know, like, some of them you missed the beginning of because you're on air.
I watched probably at least parts. Like a dozen practice. I got to see a lot.
Do you at all recall, and I think I saw three last year, so mind the ignorance on if I missed parts of this where this wasn't the case, but the one thing, and maybe this is just because of the fan chatter about the guy, mm-hmm. was Justin Shorter last year. You know, like when I mm-hmm. went out in the field and, you know, like the beginning parts of practice, you get to see guys warming up. They're going through like your standard drills. The wide receivers yeah. are getting thrown at. They're running towards the ball, doing the jugs machine, whatever. And he was a physical specimen. I mean, he stood out to me when I saw him. I mean, he's like 6'4" and like lanky and a big guy.
He's kind of... You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of the Metcalf workout picture.
He reminds me of A.J. Green a little bit. A thicker okay, like A.J. Green.
He's tall and he's... It would be... Right. And maybe this is what has... There's kind of a Justin Shorter hive out there still that I think is just waiting for one viral catch at training camp to just go, all right, here we go, fifth yeah. round, let's do it. And I wonder how much of it is based in, oh, he's really tall and muscular. You know what I mean?
Like yes.
If you lined up the Bills receivers next to each other, he looks like he would. If you didn't know anything about any of them, you might guess Justin Shorter is the best of them because he just looks athletic.
Correct.
He's tall. He's muscular. I think he's fast out there too. I don't remember if I noticed how like his speed jumping off the page. But
and then
he's not the best receiver out there.
And then I watched him line up in 1v1s. And uh-huh. then in, you know, 7-on-7 and 11-on-11
yep.
and get absolutely bullied by DeMarcus Ingram.
Mm.
Absolutely yep. bullied off the line of scrimmage. For how big he was not really, he wasn't, talk about separation. He was not separating at the line of scrimmage at all. And yep. on top of that, when he was getting in press man situations, I think uncharacteristically, a guy that you look at and say, that guy is going to dominate mm-hmm. at the line of scrimmage, he didn't. And I guess where I'm going with that is that's probably the thing I'm going to watch for the most with Keon Coleman is mm-hmm. how does he fare early in training camp in the one-on-one situations? And I'm going to look at a guy like Kyer Elam, who's the team's best man cover corner. He's their best press man corner. That's where he comes from in college. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's a guy I'm looking at and saying, you know, could that be the matchup you watch during training camp? Is Keon yeah. Coleman versus Kyer Elam? Because I'm not sure Coleman's going to start with the ones, which means he could get a lot of burn with the twos, and the twos, you're going to see him against Kyer Elam.
I hope we see that too, because they're both also, just for the sideshow entertainment part of it, I think those two might be the biggest talkers on the team.
Yes. Well, I don't know if Coleman's a talker on the field.
Elam got into a Diggs a few times last year. Like not anything mean-spirited, like just like trash talk. But
I know Coleman's a talker off the field. I'm not sure how big of a talker on the field he is.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
And I wonder as a rookie, like, how much...
He seems too nice to be a trash talker on the field, by the way.
And as a rookie, like, wide receiver and corner, to me, they're the two trash talking positions.
Sure.
That goes to, like, any level of the sport. Like, at least for me, it's the wide receivers and corners. They're the, you know, the divas and the, you know, the talkers. Mm-hmm. So... as a rookie, is he gonna be a talker? I don't know. Especially in practice, I don't know. I know some people didn't like it. I know probably the same people ask every year why the Bills aren't in joint practices. But the Bills going and getting the Steelers in joint practice, I actually like a little because I don't think the Bills starters. I don't think Josh Allen's gonna play a lot in preseason. Mm-hmm. And I think it gives them a practice to go up against a good defense. And actually see what, you know, some of the things on your offense. Because, like, TJ Watt could just ruin your practice day. He could just...
Yeah.
Bills don't really have that guy on defense where it's like, oh, well, we were trying to have a productive practice on offense, and we can't because this guy is blowing up the line of scrimmage and blowing up everything we do.
Well, that's, you know, where I was going with the next guy that I could see being on the NFL Top 100 list next
Spencer
year.
Brown?
Spencer Brown?
Or you say Greg Rousseau?
I think Greg Rousseau, if he were to have a big sack year. And that is very possible to me because his pressure numbers last year, like win rate percentages, and really even just if you want to go the volume of pressures he had, didn't really line up with how many sacks he had. Like, you might expect a double-digit sack season with the numbers he had last year. And I feel like there could be a 12, 13, 14 sack season in there for Rousseau if he were to even have similar type of pressure numbers. So Rousseau would be possible for that. I think Christian Benford is not going to get... Like, he might need years and years of playing at the level he did last year before he would ever get... Taron Johnson, right? Like, nickel corners don't really make this list very often.
Taron Johnson might be a name to think about on this list.
You think they'll give the position the respect it deserves?
I don't know that they'll give the position, but I think Trent McDuffie's going to be on the list. And if Trent McDuffie's on the list, I think it's possible that you also see Taron Johnson. Because I think Taron Johnson's the second best slot corner. I think if you're the top three in slot corners, you're probably going to make this list. And I would put him there. I think largely he is viewed as that.
Okay. The thing I really wanted to get to from the NFL Top 100 list last night, the first 10 names, 91 through 100. There's Aaron Rodgers at 92. Didn't fall out of the list. Torn Achilles, played four snaps, as we discussed yesterday, somehow got credit for the win.
Yep, somehow.
Somehow got credit for it. And Rodgers makes the list at number 92. I immediately on social media started going, you know, on the memory lane a little bit here. Let's just explore Rodgers, who didn't play last year. And, okay, the players think he's still one of the 100 best players in the league. Just barely, but they still think that. Rodgers, I don't know that fans know, or maybe Jets fans know, Bills fans know, any football fans know, just how pedestrian he was the last time he played. It almost feels like, you tell me if I'm wrong, Nate, that everyone's walking around as if Rodgers missed last year and he won back-to-back MVPs
the year before. Yeah.
That's kind of how everybody is carrying themselves when talking about Rodgers, when thinking about Rodgers, as though he won the MVPs, then he went to the Jets.
Yep.
And that is not what happened. That is not what happened.
I do want
Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead before I get rolling on this.
He did have a difficult injury. Like, that he was playing through a thumb injury on his throwing hand.
There was a thumb injury. That's
and
right. Yep.
So a little bit of that should at least be mentioned. But
yep, that's fair.
27th in QBR, 17th in passer rating.
Yeah.
Those are...
He had a lower QBR the last season he played than Matt Ryan on the Colts.
Yes. And if I might say, if you remember the final game, they played Detroit.
Yeah, for the playoffs, right?
And they win, they're in.
And that, by the way, like the thumb injury, he was definitely, I won't doubt, was dealing with that for a giant chunk of that season. But like the end of that year was like 10 weeks removed, I think, from when he had a thumb injury. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's right. Yeah, that final year with Green Bay, they lose, was it at Lambeau too, that they lost to Detroit?
I'm looking at it right now. It was in Lambeau.
Okay.
And Rodgers was 17 of 27 for 205, one touchdown, one interception.
That's not what you want from a winner go home game at home against a division foe. And that was kind of his season. He had, I was kind of surprised to find this, he didn't have a single 300-yard passing game that whole year.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go back, you have to go back to the previous season, so 2021 we're into now, to go find the last time Aaron Rodgers threw for 300 yards in a game. That same week he threw for 300 yards in a game, the last time Ben Roethlisberger did it. Ben Roethlisberger's been retired for two full seasons.
And how about this? So they
Josh Johnson has thrown 300 yards more recently than Rodgers has.
And I'm looking at that season, and I'm trying to remember some parts of it, which was 2022. The week before that, so they lose against Detroit at home with a chance to make to the playoffs. The week before, they smoke the Vikings. And that was the Vikings paper tiger season. They came here, remember that win? They won like 12 games that year, or 13 games, and all of them were within one score. It was it was not sustainable. That game, the Packers smoked the Vikings 41-17. You're thinking, wow, the offense probably had a day. Rodgers was 15 to 24 for 159 and a score. Aaron Jones went 14 for 111. A.J. Dillon went 12 for 41 and a score. And they had like two defensive touchdowns, I think, in that game. Or they had like a return touchdown in the game. Kirk Cousins had three picks. It was not a good game for Kirk Cousins that week. And I'm trying to just like go back to the end of that season where, because I think that's where Aaron Rodgers was probably not as injured, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe this is an actual time to fairly judge him. Then the week before that, this is where the Dolphins are 8-6. They're reeling, need a win. This is the bad Tua game. This is Tua throwing three interceptions. He goes for 310, one touchdown, three picks, and like they were bad picks to the Packers on defense. Rodgers, 24 of 38, 238, score a touchdown, or a touchdown interception. So like you go into all these games that they're winning towards the end of last season, Rodgers was a very little piece of these. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this. Isn't that exactly what the Jets might, not necessarily want, but can have and then win with?
I agree, but they could. They could win that way. That's not what everybody's thinking he is, though.
That's right.
That is what you're describing to me almost sounds like who their backup quarterback is. Do they want him playing Tyrod Taylor football? Throwing for 200 yards a game and not turning the football over? And just kind of... Doesn't that kind of sound like a game manager to you?
Yes.
And that is not what the Jets are hoping. Listen, that could get you to the playoffs, I think, playing that way. If Rodgers were that level, that's not getting you to the Super Bowl.
No, I agree with that.
I don't even think that's winning you the AFC East. Maybe you'll be in competition for it. But I just wonder if everyone's about to get smacked in the face with a hard dose of reality about quarterbacks and aging. Maybe Rodgers will be the first big reminder of how quarterbacks usually age. How quarterbacks actually age.
Yeah.
And not the distorted view that football fans might have right now because we just witnessed Tom Brady. We just watched Brady play till 45 and really not ever hit the cliff. Like his last year with the Bucs, he leads the league in passing. Actually, his second to last year, he led the league in passing. But his last year with the Bucs, he had 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. I mean, Brady, the wheels never really fell off. And that needs to be said. It's not normal. It's not normal what Brady did. Roethlisberger got to a point where he was totally a shell of himself. Breeze couldn't throw the football anymore. Eli couldn't throw the football anymore at some point in time. Rivers. I mean, Peyton Manning with Denver. Peyton Manning, it happened in a flash. Like, there was no steady decline for Peyton Manning. He was an MVP-level quarterback, and then, boom, you woke up one day, and that couldn't throw the football anymore.
Couldn't throw the football.
And Rodgers hasn't done it in 2 years, and the last time he did it, it was pretty pedestrian. So I want to predict he's going to be that reminder for everybody of, oh yeah, this is what 41-year-old quarterbacks usually look like. Not what we just saw from Tom Brady. What Tom Brady did is not normal. It had never happened in the league since at least like the 50s or the 60s or whenever the heck George Blanda played. 803-0550 is the phone number. What level should we expect in the division from Rodgers this year? I'm just not expecting a super high level of quarterback play from him. He finishes 92nd in the NFL top 100 list, four spots ahead of Deion Dawkins. I want to talk about how the Bills are going to line up at the beginning of the season a little bit today. Joe Brady. I was diving in on Joe Brady's Carolina days a little bit more again in the last couple, and the more I look at his Carolina days, the more it looks different from how the Bills finished last season, which has me very confused about what Joe Brady's going to be this season. We'll have Aaron Schatz a little bit later on at 9 o'clock as well. I want to get in on, they're showing on ESPN right now, LeBron turning back the clock yesterday for Team USA in one of their pre-Olympic games. I got a word on that to get to as well. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Training camp starts tomorrow. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You heard Josh Allen talk about, hey, we're not doing the same mundane things. And so I feel like there is going to be a lot of structurally new things. And I think that would certainly lend itself to the X receiver position, where I think it will have some differences to it. Part of me feels like Keon Coleman and really any of the X receivers, they're going to ask them to win leverage battles and then win off script, right? I think that's the big thing. X receiver on the line of scrimmage, heavyweight battles, facing press coverage. Can you clear contact and can you make DBs play through you?
That's Joe Marino yesterday on what we could see from the X receiver in the Bills offense. Matt Harmon, one of our favorites, of course, on receivers and whatnot, he wrote about the Bills last week. And on that same subject about the X receiver, Harmon wrote about the idea, really the merit of kind of a decoy X receiver in this offense and how that's actually been utilized well in the NFL. Where you kind of have an empty calories receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that's running a lot of routes and running a lot of miles, like right down the field, but is just not seeing the ball very often. And that could be a role. That's kind of how they used Gabe Davis at the end of last year, wasn't it?
It's how they used Gabe Davis for the pretty much most of his career.
But even more so last year, how many games did he have zero catches in last year? With Joe Brady.
Three?
And they were all with Joe Brady, weren't they?
There were two games where he didn't get a target.
Right. And he was on the field, I think. I mean, he missed the Chief game and also the Steeler game, I think, right? With an injury. He didn't play in the playoffs. But, yeah, if you look at his game log last year once Joe Brady took over, he had a weird one because there were a couple of games where he did go off. Like the Charger game, he had four catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. But okay, so once Joe Brady took over, Gabe Davis, kind of funny again, it was kind of back and forth. Against Philadelphia, all over the place, 12 targets in that game. He had 105 yards and a touchdown. Okay, after that, Kansas City, he played 82% of the snaps, two targets, no catches. The next week, Gabe Davis against Dallas, they ran the ball a lot in that game, I know, but 72% of the snaps, one target, no catches. So back-to-back goose eggs, then that big Charger game, four for 130 and a touchdown, then New England, 91% of the snaps, three targets, two catches, 21 yards. And then he wraps up his season against Miami, two targets, no catches. He was injured in that game, didn't play in the playoffs. That's kind of how they use Davis. under Brady, the couple big games withstanding, he was kind of a decoy. Like, hey, run the deep routes, push guys back. And does anybody think that's what they want to see from Keon Coleman, though? Coleman, you would think, is going to be used in other ways. That kind of sounds more like how they would use Valdes-Scantling or Mac Hollins if they were on the field. Like, hey, can you just run down the field? Our psycho quarterback might throw it to you once in a while when he's not supposed to, but for the most part, you're not getting the ball. You're just going to push defenses deep, and you're going to block.
Well, isn't this part of the reason that he's not a Bill anymore, Gabe Davis? The limitations in his route tree and just what that position had essentially turned into?
Okay. And also maybe just what they think they need from that role. They don't think it's worth $13 million a year. That they think they can get adequate replacement for $1 million instead of, was it $13 million that the Jaguars gave him? I think
17
maybe it was in year one, and then the average came down a little bit.
Was it okay?
I think that's right. All of this is trying to figure out what is Joe Brady's offense going to look like. And I have to say, like, I'm very much in the camp of, I think we could see a wide range of things. I think from the little sample we have of Joe Brady, both as Bills coordinator and as an NFL coordinator elsewhere, the two don't line up. The two things don't line up. Brady took over Dorsey's offense last year, and he decided, let's simplify the offense. We're going to run the ball more. Our main goal here, it felt like the main goal of the Joe Brady offense with the Bills last year was, we need to just turn the football over less. That's it. We just turn the football over less, and we'll be fine. And that's what they did. And a lot of that attributed itself to running the ball more. If you go back to what he was in Carolina, go Google Joe Brady, Matt Rhule running the ball. And you're going to find a bunch of stories about why Joe Brady got fired in Carolina that seemingly had to do with his head coach in Carolina wanted him to run the ball more, and he just refused to run the ball more. He was just, I am going to throw this football. And maybe to a fault, but very different from what happened here last year. There was, and when I searched this, like trying to find out, okay, why did he get fired in Carolina again? Kyle Bailey, who covers the Panthers, tweeted in 2021, the Panthers ran the ball 23 times last week, and Matt Rhule demanded they run it more. Fast forward a week, Joe Brady dialed up 17 runs to 49 pass attempts. He threw it maybe against the will of his coach. Sigmund Bloom, quote tweeting Joe Person, who covers the Panthers a couple years ago, when Brady got fired. Matt Rhule made a big point about a month ago saying 33 rushes per game should be the goal. Holy cow, by the way.
Oh my God.
33. What a specific number, by the way. 33 rushes should be the goal.
What you're trying to do is run the ball 50 to 52% of the time.
Yeah. It continues, but the message didn't seem to resonate with Brady. Safe to say new OC and running back coach Jeff Nixon, who's coached running backs bulk of his career, will try to establish the ground game first. He got fired because he didn't run the ball enough in Carolina. And that was with Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, who was Sam Darnold would have been in Carolina after that. His receivers, they got their targets. DJ Moore in the 2 years Joe Brady was their offensive coordinator. Year one with Joe Brady, 115 targets. Year two, 163 targets. Robbie Anderson in the 2 years with Carolina had 138 targets under Joe Brady and then 110 targets under Joe Brady. Curtis Samuel was hurt the second year, but the first year he had 97 targets. He got every receiver that was worth being fed on his offense in Carolina, got fed.
Yeah.
And he did it despite the fact that his quarterback play was so subpar. That is very opposite of what we just saw with the Bills. So which is the real Joe Brady? What is is he want to air it out and sling it like he did at LSU and then with the Carolina Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater? Or does he want to run the ball as much as he did with the Bills at the end of last year? Which is the real Joe Brady?
Sale says this point a lot. How much did the Dallas game skew what the average numbers were?
It had to have. There were only, was it six games? So it would have had to inflate it at least a chunk of it. And what I remember, and Sales pointed this out too, that Brady, when he did his press conference the Tuesday after that game, he admitted to, like, that wasn't really our game plan to run that much, but they were giving it to us, so what am I going to do?
Like,
I'm not going to stop. So it wasn't necessarily their plan to run it that much in that game, but I bet it was a big inflator, that Dallas game.
I think it was a big inflator. Well, we'll look at it.
They threw the ball to James Cook a lot more, of course, at the end of the season, too. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what is Brady going to be? Is he going to want to get all of these receivers involved and see what he's got and right away at the beginning of the year, see if he can recreate the offense that his background suggests he wants? Or does he want to go with what won them football games last year? I don't think their offense was what was winning them football games. I think their defense was what figured it out, but I think it could really end up being either. Or it could be somewhere in the middle, which is what makes this beginning of the year so interesting, is I think we have a coordinator that you have different signals pointing to different things that he could want from his offense. 11 personnel versus 12 personnel is another thing, too, that was different, Carolina versus here.
And I also want to point out, and I'm going to do this exercise, and hopefully by the time this hour ends and we start a next hour, I'll have some good answers for you. Obviously, Josh Allen's rushing attempts go up. Do we want to count those?
We want to count if we can do it.
Do we want to count it? Do we want to count it as
we don't want to count the run versus
pass? Yeah, and that's hard to. But like the run versus pass, do we want to just remove Josh Allen from that? I think we should.
I, for the most part, think so. A lot of those numbers, though, often will, you know, they'll eliminate the scrambles, that it will be called pass plays versus run plays. But again, that could be hard because some of those plays you might not even know if they're going to be called runs. Last year, here we go. Allen had, I guess, more designed runs than I thought. Allen, PFF's got as 111 designed runs last year.
Okay.
And 50 scrambles. I would have thought those numbers were flipped. But that's at least what Pro Football Focus has. 803-0550 is the phone number. What are we going to see from Joe Brady offensively this year? Running more than they have in the past? Are we going to see him air it out like he tried to do with the Panthers, even when he didn't have the quarterbacks to do it? Very interesting. Timeout here. When we come back, USA Basketball yesterday before the Olympics get rolling. LeBron James is just a, you know, I criticized Rodgers earlier for, like, he's not going to age the way you think he is. LeBron is aging like Brady did. He really is.
Better.
Better?
Better than Brady did, yes.
Word on that when we come back.
Post screens. James, late in the clock. LeBron James bodying. Inside, he scores! He's a man. Goodness, does he take over? You have a right to do that. The Kings flex lead in the contest, delivering.
He has been spectacular.
So Team USA, morning, it's Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. It's beautiful out. At the moment, it's beautiful out. I haven't actually checked the weather for later today. So Team USA playing Germany yesterday in their pre-tournament exhibition before the Olympics get rolling. Friday is the opening ceremonies. How insane is it that Team USA, which is basically an all-star team, still has 40-year-old LeBron out here? Like, they need someone, the game's close, and they need someone to take over at the end. Who grabs the ball?
It's LeBron, apparently, for the last 11 points.
Yeah. And he scored. It's not like he got the ball and was missing and LeBron, ball hog. Like, he was scoring on every possession. It wasn't Steph that grabbed the ball. It wasn't Anthony Edwards or one of the younger guys. Like, no, it's still LeBron that's out there doing it. I mentioned this about Brady earlier. You think what he's doing is more impressive than what Brady did?
Yes.
Brady did win a Super Bowl, though, at 40.
He did.
And LeBron's probably not winning a championship again. So the title part of it's different, but I don't know, like, they're both freaks. They're both doing things that I don't think it's going to really be replicated. I don't know why that's happening kind of at the same point in history that you're seeing two players do something that are aging like no one we've ever seen before. But keep in mind, Brady threw for 5,300 yards at 44 years old. Is it more impressive because Brady's a quarterback and he's able to play the sport without actually, like, taking hits?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't take hits at all.
Right.
I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday. Like, he more so, he did a lot of those things where he would just like fall. It was kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Right. Versus LeBron, like he's going up for alley-oops yesterday. He's got to land on those knees, right? Every time. He's got to be able to jump in the air every time.
He remains still one of the best athletes in pro basketball, which I think is why it's more impressive than what Brady did.
Because that is a Brady very
was,
different.
Brady
just knew the game.
Brady could throw the football.
He could throw football. His right arm was athletic, and he knew what he was doing with his brain.
Yeah.
And right, LeBron has still got to be the fastest and the strongest and the be able to jump the highest and be able to shoot the ball. Yeah, it's insane. Friday is going to be the start of the Olympics. I think the basketball tournament, though, gets rolling on like Sunday. 803-0550 is the phone number. I also think we're a month out until college football season. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Week zero, which has become a new staple for college football fans. 803-0550 is the phone number. Bills training camp begins tomorrow. We'll preview it. Sal's going to join us at 8. I think we're going to do our... I've had this idea to draft players based on who's going to be on the field for the first snap for the Bills offensively. I think we can go a bunch of different ways. We'll do that at 8 o'clock. Aaron Schott's coming up at 9, so a lot of fun stuff. You can line up phone calls now, and we'll get you on. 803-0550, the phone number. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.